case is Guerrero-Sanchez versus the warden of York County Prison. It's a great last name to be in court.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Joseph Dare on behalf of the government. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Go ahead.
Your Honors, the district court erred in holding that it was the pre-removal order statute, 8 U.S.C. 1226, and not the post-removal order statute, 8 U.S.C. 1231, that governed the detention of Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez while he was subject to a reinstated removal order.
And that's the only issue presented, correct?
There's a subsidiary issue. If the court agrees with the district court that he is subject to the pre-removal order statute, section 1226, whether or not he'd be entitled to a bond hearing under that statute. The government doesn't dispute the outcome of the bond hearing that was held separately by the district court, but just the primary issue of what section governs, and if so, what is the result of that?
Well, it's a little more complicated, right? Because if we said 1226, right, then the question would be what role does C play, and because of Jennings, this is really a C and not an A case, so...
Yes, the Supreme Court has made the issue much more complicated.
Following the determination on withholding of removal, will there not be another removal order? Let's say he is denied withholding of removal. There has to be a removal order, or let's say he's granted withholding of removal vis-a-vis Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't there be another, at least arguable, removal order that, okay, withholding of removal to Mexico, but a removal order that he will be sent to, Chile, let's say. If it's determined he could be sent there.
No, Your Honor, the statute doesn't require that there's a separate removal order.
I'm not saying requires, but if he is denied withholding of removal, what happens then?
Well, then the process is laid out in section 1231B2.
I'm sorry, I was confused. If he's granted withholding of removal, which would be vis-a-vis Mexico,
yes.
It's place specific, is it not?
It is.
Okay, so he's granted withholding of removal in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all that happens?
Well, then Department of Homeland Security can look for an alternative country.
Right, and then order removal to that country, correct?
Well, the order of, he's already been ordered removed. Then when they say, we're going to send you to
Chile.
Guatemala or Chile,
okay, right.
He can say, well, no, I fear
torture. But it doesn't have to be done by order, a removal to Guatemala, enter that order?
No, his movability itself has already been determined.
I know, but you're arguing the only question is where. And I'm saying once it's determined where, it has to be an order that he's be sent there, doesn't there? I would think so.
I thought your argument was that it's just a reinstated order of removal and that there's an original order of removal and then there's a reinstated order of removal, and we're talking about the reinstated order of removal. So the question is, do you need essentially an amendment to the reinstated order of removal when there's a finding that he shouldn't be sent to Mexico?
To my knowledge, no. The statute allows Department of Homeland Security to select another country, and it doesn't require that they go back into removal proceedings and establish removability again.
But what if there's threats to him in Guatemala and he wants to ask that he be withheld? Wouldn't there have been an order? I mean, we're arguing about it. To my mind, there has to be something else. But you're saying once the removal order is reinstated, it's a final order.
Yes. And the statute makes that clear. It's reinstated from its original date, and it's not subject to reopening or review, and there's no relief from removal that the alien can apply for, with the narrow exception of withholding or Convention Against Torture relief.
In your case, 1231 is the statute that should govern.
Yes.
Not 1226.
Yes, Your Honor.
But isn't that impractical? How can it be that we have a 90-day period for the withholding of removal proceedings to occur? Isn't that as a practical matter, you're arguing?
Well,
that's the removal period by statutory definition. It's a 90-day period, correct?
That specifies the removal period, yes, Your Honor. However, Section 1231 contemplates that removal can actually take much longer than that in certain circumstances, which is why in Section 1231A6, it allows for continued detention of certain classes of aliens, including those with qualifying criminal convictions, which Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez would fall under. And ultimately, the Supreme Court in Zavidas contemplated that sometimes removal can take significantly longer and said, really, the only backstop we're going to place on this process is if there's no longer a significant likelihood of removal in the reasonably foreseeable future.
Well, what do we do with the fact that every circuit court has held that the reinstated removal order isn't administratively final until the withholding petition has been adjudicated? What do we do with that light of the argument that there's a finality here? Haven't we specifically closed the door on that argument by those determinations?
Well, those determinations combine two issues which are analytically distinct. There's administratively final for determining when the removal period starts under Section 1231A2 versus whether a withholding-only, an order arising from withholding-only proceedings is final for purposes of obtaining judicial review in this court. Those are the two separate issues. And the second issue,
finality then can be different for one thing versus another. Administrative finality is not administrative finality if we're talking about review. Is that the idea?
Yes, and it would be nice if the statute was drafted more clearly, but as the Ninth Circuit pointed out in its Padilla-Ramirez case, even though courts are reluctant to ascribe two different meanings to the same word, here the context bears that out because of the language structure and logic of the INA indicates that it's really Section 1231, beginning with the removal period working onward, that should govern the detention of Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez.
So let me ask you this question. The INA provides for a unitary definition of order of deportation in its definition section, along with a single definition for when such an order is deemed final. That's 1101A47B. So if Congress intended for finality to be different in the removal context than in the judicial review context, then why didn't it explicitly do so in the INA?
That is perhaps a question better left for Congress to address, but I'll point out that two circuit courts have looked at that very provision, the Ninth and the Fifth, and said that that's not helpful for determining the purposes of whether a reinstated removal order is final, because the language of Section 1101A47 talks about final for review in front of the Board of Immigration Appeals, and the statute is very clear that a reinstated removal order cannot be reviewed, and also not by the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Let me ask you this question. So your adversary focuses on 1226A, right? And says 1226A should govern. You're focusing on 1231. The concern I have is, if it is for the moment, and I know you disagree, but let's just discuss for a moment it is 1226. I'm trying to figure out why isn't it 1226C, and if it's C, then Jennings obviously says no detention hearing. What's your best argument as to, and your best argument as to why it's not A, I presume, is because it's a withholding only, and it's a clash because it's not as the question posed to you earlier about whether the person should be detained. It's removed. It's just a question of where they're going to be removed to. Is that summarize exactly where your focus is?
Yes, and I might have misunderstood your question, but the government position would be that it would be, if there was the pre-removal order at issue, it would be Section 1226C due to the qualifying conviction that Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez has for the conspiracy to distribute in excess of 50 grams of methamphetamine. That would qualify as an aggravated felony and place it within the category of aliens that would qualify for mandatory detention under Section 1226C. And therefore, under the court's, Supreme Court's recent ruling in Jennings v. Rodriguez, at least the statute, Section 1226, would not provide any eligibility for a bond hearing.
What is this current? He's in detention now, isn't he?
No, he's been released.
Oh, he's been released.
He's been released.
So he's just waiting for a place to go.
Yes.
He's waiting for a determination on his withholding petition.
Specifically the Convention Against Torture, the acquiescence standard.
If it's denied, presumably, he's out of here. If it's granted, question is whether they decide to send him somewhere else.
Yes, that's exactly it. If it's granted, if it's denied, then DHS would remove him. And if not, then they would consider whether it would be another country that would take him.
So it's pending that determination, the agency could move for 1226C continued detention to put him back in, correct?
Yes.
That's the other shoe that would drop depending upon with what withholding happens. That's not really before us, is it?
I'm sorry.
1226C isn't really before us.
Not if you determine that it's not Section 1231, we would say that would be the only other section that it could
but
be.
But we wouldn't decide that. Then we would be deciding that his withholding petition has to play out, and then a determination, or a determination now that someone moves to put him back in because of 1226C, but that's not before us, correct?
If I understand your honest question, no. It's really just the determination of which statute is at issue.
Yeah.
No, I thought her question was, if we determine it's a pre-removal, right?
It's 1226.
And you say it would be C, therefore he'd be detained. He'd be detained because there is no bond hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Your adversary says A, which would provide a bond hearing, right? So, I mean, that's really the dichotomy.
But A's already happened. So if you want to pursue C, you have to bring a proceeding to say, you know, you may have let him out under A, but guess what? He really should be detained under C. You'd bring a petition, wouldn't you? You'd seek his further detention under 1226C as a matter of administrative process.
So you're talking pragmatically what would occur?
Yeah.
This is a unique case, so I would have to consult with the adjacency exactly how they would go about.
But my point is, the argument about 1226C right now is premature.
There has to be a finding first
that 1226, and you could have, you know, 2 weeks ago, you could have applied for him to be taken back based on 1226C. Could you not?
If we were to concede that was the governing statute, I suppose we could have. However, I'll point out that statute doesn't require an initial finding. The government just takes the alien into custody, and then the alien has an opportunity at a Joseph hearing to say, no, wait, 1226C doesn't apply to me because, you know, I haven't been to one of these qualifying
offenses. So I guess if you were to proceed under 1226C right now, it would be inconsistent with your position.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Under 1231, you would agree that we should employ the issue of constitutional avoidance and we'd end up giving him a bail hearing anyway?
Well, under 1231, there is no bond hearing requirement.
I thought that the way to look at 1231A6 is that there's an implicit bond hearing.
There's reference to in the regulations that if an alien subject to 1231A6 is put out on a post-order custody review, that there can be a bond required to ensure compliance.
One second. 8 CFR 241.5B, which implements 1231A6, is entitled Posting a Bond and provides that, quote, an officer authorized to issue an order of supervision may require the posting of a bond in the amount determined by the officer to be sufficient to ensure compliance with the conditions of the order, including surrender for removal. So I thought that the question here was the due process rights of Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez and that based on the principle of constitutional avoidance, particularly given this language, there should be a bond hearing, no?
Well, no, that language, I guess, can be a little confusing because it references a bond, but that's not actually a bond hearing. A bond hearing is generally conducted in front of an immigration judge.
No, I understand, but wouldn't that language imply that there should be a bond hearing pursuant to 1231A6?
The government position would be no, that just provides that a bond can be one of the conditions of post-order custody release that are attached. What that regulation is talking about is a determination, an internal determination by DHS that we are going to release this person while they're under Section 1231, and there are all sorts of conditions that can be attached. And that that provision says, well, we can require a bond to make sure that they show up for removal if we're able to effect removal. The constitutional avoidance under Section 1231 comes into play in the Zavidas decision, which says that we're going to read this likelihood of removal limitation onto the endpoint of Section 1231A6. So that's the outcome of constitutional avoidance as applied to Section 1231. And the court in Zavidas explained, actually, that administrative bond hearings wouldn't be sufficient if there is this specter of indefinite detention, then the alien simply has to be released on under an order of supervision, and that bond hearings in that case wouldn't be sufficient. However, we would argue here, as we did in the briefs, that the only impediment to Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez's removal at this point is the withholding-only proceeding.
And is that, sir?
What's that?
What did you say?
The only impediment to Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez's removal at this point is the withholding-only proceeding that he's in now, and that proceeding, by definition, is finite. It will terminate, and as the magistrate judge ruled and the district court never reached this, he hasn't shown that there's any other impediment to his removal once those finite proceedings have concluded.
So you're saying Zavidas doesn't apply if this is the only impediment? Is that what you're saying?
Zavidas would apply, but it wouldn't be violated. There'd be no violation because we're not dealing with the prospect of indefinite detention.
So this is his application for withholding removal to Mexico, is that correct? This is his application for withholding your removal to Mexico.
Yes. That.
And there was a prior determination that his contention that he would be persecuted in Mexico is reasonable. Is that?
Well, this court actually, he was originally denied withholding. Well, he was denied withholding because he committed a particularly serious crime, but he also applied under the Convention Against Torture. And there was initially the IJ and the Board of Immigration Appeals denied that claim. However, this court remanded that case back down because it found that the immigration court hadn't applied the proper standard as to whether Mexico would acquiesce to the torture. And so that's currently what's in front of the immigration court.
So let me ask you this question. So how does keeping Guerrero-Sanchez detained without a bond hearing while he pursues these bona fide arguments for withholding only proceedings, how is that not effectively punishing him while he's pursuing his legal remedies?
Well, you know, courts are clear that immigration detention is not punishment. It's civil in nature, and the purposes are to ensure the alien is present for removal proceedings or removal if that's ordered, and also to ensure that certain aliens who might be dangerous to the community are, you know, the community is protected against them while they are present. The record reflects that Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez actually received a few post-order custody reviews at which DHS said, we were keeping you detained for a number of reasons. You presented false documents at the border and snuck back into the country after you ordered removed, which shows you have no respect for the laws and we can't trust that you would be present for removal. And also you were convicted of an aggravated felony, which makes us worry about the effect you'd have on the community if we were let you out pending your completion of your withholding-only proceedings.
What happens if he has a withholding or removal proceeding but he doesn't prevail?
Then he'd be removed back to Mexico.
Despite his contention that...
Yes, but the withholding-only proceeding is to vet that that contention that he would be tortured or persecuted in Mexico. And if he loses on that, then there's there's no other claim he can raise under.
Any idea when that's going to take place?
I don't. I believe it's still in front of the immigration court, although I'm sure his attorney might have some more exact information on that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Morning, may it please the court. Dan Conklin on behalf of Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez. Now to start, regarding the custody reviews, the government doesn't challenge that the finding that he's not a flight risk and that he's not dangerous. And that has proved true since he's been out over the past year. He's reported about 11 times. He's requested permission to travel to take his daughter to college. So he's proven to be a good bail risk. And so it's interesting because potentially the issue is the government attempt to bring back into custody somebody they are not challenging, doesn't need to be in custody.
But that's not really before us, is it?
What's before us is a statutory issue.
Right.
So regarding the statutory issue, we think it's 1226 because there's still proceedings that are taking place before Mr. Guerrero can enter the removal period.
But doesn't it apply when the petition is pending, a petition for removal is pending?
And
here there is nothing pending regarding removal, is there?
What's pending is the application for withholding of removal. And that has a heavy impact on the legal consequences that will flow from a removal order. So our position is that when somebody is seeking relief from removal, other issues involve the particular country, the when and how and where, the contours of the removal order.
Let me ask you a question right on that point.
Sure.
So as I understand the government's position, there are only two things that can happen based on the proceedings that your client is going through now, right? He's either going to be removed to Mexico or he's going to be removed somewhere else. Now, is that wrong?
I think it is wrong because I think it severely minimizes what actually is happening in this case. So,
what other possibility is there than the two that I've just outlined?
That he remains in the United States as beneficiary of relief under the Convention Against Torture, which we're a party to, and I think somebody who receives that relief has a right to be here. Now, there's two possibilities. Either
and so sorry, because I don't understand your response. I thought since this was a withholding only, that the only question was if there's a finding of veracity to his claims, his CAT claim, that it keeps him from being removed to Mexico. I didn't think that based on the papers that there was a third alternative, that he would essentially stay here and not be removed anywhere. Help me with that.
If the government can find a third country, he can be removed to that country, but there might be proceedings, to answer Judge Rendell's question, before that can take place. There might be additional administrative proceedings. But either there is no other country, because no other country has been mentioned in over 2 years, or the government is not doing what 1231 said it should be doing. What's supposed to take place during the removal period is the identification of another country. So they're not actually doing anything that the removal requires. The whole
You're
purpose
saying that in practice, most people who get withholding of removal aren't removed to another country.
A vast majority, based on
so
my
what's
experience.
What's the status, then, of their removal order? They've been granted withholding of removal, but presumably their removal order is still in effect, is it not? It hasn't been rescinded or anything else.
The consequences, the contours of the removal order, are still being defined in these proceedings. So the way I always view immigration proceedings is that there's a lot of things that can happen to a removal order. It can be vacated, it can be reopened, it can be withheld, it can be modified in different ways. And there's administrative proceedings.
Well, but a reinstated removal order can't be, those things can't happen to it. It can't be reviewed.
But
or
certain things can happen to it. It can be withheld or it can be deferred. Those are additional things that can happen to the removal order. And the term, making
you
signs,
withhold removal. But do you withhold a removal order? Now, the order is still in effect. They just don't effectuate it, isn't that?
Well, going back, and we can look back over 60 or 70 years of case law, what is a removal order? And going back to the 1960s, the Supreme Court said a removal order includes applications for relief. The statute doesn't specify for judicial review all these separate things are appealed differently. They just refer to removal orders, and the removal order encompasses all of these issues. Back in Foti, they said the removal order encompasses all of these applications, suspension of deportation, withholding of deportation. Those fall within the ambit of the removal order.
But it's not before us, right, to redefine the finality of a withholding only or reinstated removal order, right? I think I share the same understanding. A reinstated removal order, that's it. Right, you can sort of work around the contours, but you know the there's a finality to it, and I thought that was the whole sort of predicate upon which we are going forward in this argument.
Either it is or it isn't, and I don't think it can be considered final because there's still because he's not entered the removal period.
Okay, so the question is, are we in the removal period?
We're not in the removal period because nothing in 1231 is happening. The government's not either. They have cycled through countries, and there's no other country, which means the absolute decision, the result of this withholding only proceeding will be whether or not he remains in the United States. That takes us back to Section 1226.
So if we are in 1226, then why? I don't understand. Help me. If we are in 1226, why aren't we in 1226C and not 1226A?
Well, I think the district court found that he's in 1226C because the court applied Chavez-Alvarez. And to go to that point, Jennings does not abrogate Chavez-Alvarez or this court's holdings in Diop. It does not. The constitutional avoidance part, yes, it undermines that, but the constitutional question, which was raised in each of those habeas petitions, Diop, Mr. Chavez-Alvarez, and in this case, remains good law, but the majority did not address the constitutional question. This court has.
But let me back up. Isn't the answer to Judge Greenway's question that it has not been argued before any agency that 1226 applies? Has it?
Well, the argument would be made, I guess, before the district court proceedings.
Has that argument been made?
Well, the court in its decision, the district court found it was 1226.
Yes, so but the argument was made by Mr. Guerrero. I'm saying 1226C. Isn't that your question? Aren't we in 1226? We're not in 1226 because it's not been raised that applies here, has it? Before the agency or the district court? It was 1226A
and 1226C, the Supreme Court has always read those together because 1226A begins with defining the removal period pending a decision, and 1226C flows from that.
But more to my point, there has to be the finding the district court said 1226A. Then the government could have come in and said, okay, 1226A, but guess what? Now we're in C, so have a further hearing as to whether C applies.
I would say that argument's been waived.
Okay.
It's been waived because I agree with that because they could have raised
that
long before.
It's either been waived or it's definitely not before us.
It's not, and I don't think that would be a permissible reason to take him back into custody because they forgot to raise an argument in the first
place. And it would take further proceedings to say 1226C, and then they'd say, well, it's been waived, but that's for us to consider.
That's correct.
To go back for a second, my impression is he's just waiting for a removal.
He's waiting for Mexico or
some other country. And that's his current status. But you've added a convention against torture possibility.
That's his claim. He has a claim for relief. And it's actually the exact same application as the asylum application. There's one that applies to these three forms of relief. It's the same form of relief that Mr. Diop was seeking. And he has an evidentiary hearing in September 2019, I believe, on that application. So still, if he succeeds, he cannot be
removed. September 2019?
Yes.
You really have
and to go to those backlogs, and I would say that's not his fault. He shouldn't be required to sit in detention as he waits for the government to work through the backlog, particularly where he got to this stage because of the ruler.
That seems so actually far away. What is his next step? What is his next hearing?
His next step will be to go to immigration court, with the attorney is retained in Las Vegas, where he lives with his wife and his two daughters, who are not in college yet, and go for an individual hearing before the immigration judge, which is the exact same form of relief.
Individual hearing to address what?
To address his application for protection under the Convention Against Torture.
So he's got collateral proceedings. I mean, he's got parallel proceedings going here.
It's not, because it's all, these are singular proceedings regarding the same order, the same relief. There's only one removal proceeding. These are not separate collateral. If I go to immigration.
But different bites of the same apple, basically.
Yes. If I go to immigration court tomorrow with somebody who overstayed their visa by a few months, and we go to our initial master just down the road at the Philadelphia Immigration Court, I can walk into court and file my application for withholding of removal or CAT relief, Convention Against Torture, and then my hearing will be scheduled for an individual hearing. And however far down the road, then I will go and I will testify about the facts. In this case, I'm actually finding that he probably would be killed, but the question is, you know, would the government be involved in any way? The immigration judge found him credible and found he probably would be tortured, but that's not the end of the inquiry. There's still other legal and factual issues that need to be decided. But if I go to the Philadelphia Immigration Court and I say, yes, this person overstayed their visa, and maybe I have a problem with asylum because there's no nexus to or maybe they've been here over a year, so I say, we want to request CAT to be scheduled for an individual, that person will be scheduled for an individual hearing. That's the exact same thing that's happening with Mr. Guerrero. I mean, practically speaking, how it looks to the eye, you know, to somebody just observing immigration court, it will be the exact same proceeding. And based on the government's argument, which I think could never hold water in real life, that person I just described who I go to immigration court with would be in the removal period, even though there's never even been a hearing on their application for relief from removal.
Would it really take a year and a half to schedule it? CAT hearing?
It depends on the court, the jurisdiction. Different courts have different backlogs, but and they've been increasing. And, you know, going to the backlogs in Jennings, the government conceded the statistics they gave in Des Moines were wrong. You'll notice that in the opinion that it does take much longer. And the backlogs have only increased, especially currently there's, you know, unprecedented numbers. There's more people being placed in removal proceedings. It depends, but right now there are backlogs, and to answer your question, it would depend on which immigration court you're
at. Are reinstated removals in a different category?
Excuse me, Judge.
I said, are reinstated removals in a different category? Or they just get in line with everyone else?
No, at the immigration court level, in terms of if you go, they're called master calendar hearing dockets. And there may be, those are like the preliminary hearings and then the individual hearings. And if you go to immigration court, there will be a list outside the court of all the cases for that day, maybe 50. If you're just looking at, they're all in the same list. They're all in withholding, removal. These aren't separate proceedings. The only difference is the scope of the proceeding is more limited. But other than that, they look exactly the same.
You make the point that nothing can happen to him until he finishes his proceeding in September of 2019?
Yeah, and the government has made that concession in other cases that they can't remove somebody during the withholding proceedings. And to that point, regarding the third country, if there is one, you know, it would be great if they would let us know, because I've had clients, you know, when you're sitting in custody, who will say, well, where else could I go? They don't necessarily want to be in custody for 3 years. Actually, the first case I took in the county prison.
They accepted by the.
They need to, and if there needs to be another country willing to accept, and that is very rare. And so they say, we will go to another country. We would rather go to Sweden or somewhere rather than sit in custody. But the problem is there isn't another country, which means what's at stake in the withholding proceeding is, for every practical purpose under 1226, will that person be removed? And we can't say that that's not the actual practical purpose, and the government can't detain somebody and say, oh, theoretically, there's this third country.
Because that's not in the record. Yeah. We don't have that as a matter of record, that, you know, withholding really has to do with whether you'll be removed rather than where. Theoretically, it has to do with where.
But for all practical, it's the same question.
Right.
Well, so let me ask you this. In Zavidas, the alien was detained pursuant to 1231, and the government was trying to figure out what was the list of possible removal countries. So does that inform us that this isn't a question of whether the alien will be removed, but merely where?
I think Mr. Guerrero was entirely unlike Mr. Zavidas because, one, Mr. Zavidas, they said the government was cycling through countries. Well, here apparently the government is not cycling through countries. In Zavidas, they were actually trying to remove him. They were calling his country. They were trying to get travel documents. They wanted to remove him. Here, and Mr. Zavidas was not applying for any form of relief. And again, we can't say that CAT, the Convention Against Torture, is not a form of relief. Here, he is applying. He is appearing before an immigration judge. He is going to court. He is applying for relief from removal, and the government is not trying to remove him. They're completely, they're not similarly situated in any way. And then the government makes the argument under Zavidas that, well, we can't show he won't be removed to Mexico. Well, that's exactly what we're litigating. That's the whole purpose of these administrative proceedings.
What's the case that you cited, decided a long time ago, that, where you said the removal order includes applications for future relief?
That in a brief, that's FOTI, F-O-T-I, I think the INS, and CHADA, the INS, were just, and there, you know, the Supreme Court has examined the phrase order of deportation or order of removal, and they've kind of said, well, what's included within in this order? We need to know that when we review it, and they've said all of these applications, and it makes practical sense, all the applications for relief, and this court has also found, actually, that designation of a country is included within an order of removal, and that's very important because the agent only seek review of the removal order. And even in the note to 1231, it says all issues raised on appeal should be included in an appeal of the removal order.
And none of that can be determined until at least, at minimally, September of 2019.
That's just the hearing.
And at that stage, in September of 2019, he meant in his proceeding here, he went from the immigration court to the BIA to this court, then back to the BIA, then back to the immigration court. Now he's at the immigration court, so either he could win his case, and since he actually is very confident he would be killed, I think he could win his case, in which case I would agree once that administrative proceeding is over, I would agree his removal period begins. Once there's no more administrative proceeding.
As long as the CAT claim is not still pending.
Yeah, I'm saying once there's no longer any type of claim for relief, or there's not a stay in place. And in 1231, the conditions, you'll notice when the removal period begin, they all relate to when the government can actually go remove somebody.
What's your position on whether there's an implicit bond requirement in 1231?
Well, I think there is. And Jennings does not, Jennings reaffirmed that 1231 can be so construed.
If we avoid the doctrine of constitutional avoidance, found that there was an implicit bond requirement, while it would be a different pathway than the district court, it would give your client the same relief that you ultimately seek, which is giving him the opportunity to stay out on bond because he's not a flight risk or a danger to the community, as was found, until this is all resolved.
I agree, Your Honor. They'd be the same end result. The relief we'd be seeking, if that were the case, would be the individualized bond hearing by an impartial arbiter addressing the issues of flight risk and dangerousness, which is exactly what happened.
But in the meantime, if that were the determination, he'd be brought back in until that happens. Don't you think they'd come and detain him until there?
I don't think they would because it's already been found that he's not a flight risk, and I don't think they would be able. They've also waived findings on those issues, so I don't think they would have to bring him back for a hearing to address issues they've already said they're not contesting that he's not a flight risk or danger.
Okay.
Yeah. He's even less.
Right. Yeah. Now you have the history.
Yes. Now we have the history.
It sounds like a status quo until 2019.
Until his withholding only proceedings conclude. And if he did lose at the Las Vegas Immigration Court, then he could appeal to the BIA again, and then he would also be able to seek judicial review in the Ninth Circuit. So there could still, it could go on. You know, the first case I took at York County Prison was a withholding case, and I had a master calendar hearing in Denver in August. And I took that case 5 years ago. And he was at York County Prison for about 2.5 years. Before he was released, because he wasn't no criminal history whatsoever. He wasn't a flagrant. And he as well, like Mr. Guerrero, checks in. So it's very difficult, all I'm saying, is to predict when a withholding case might end. If somebody asked me at York County Prison how long might this take place, I could say 6 months to 4, 5, 6 years. It's just, we don't know.
I have nothing else.
It's undetermined. Thank you, Your Honor.
Deep breath, thank you.
Yes.
May it please the Court, Your Honor, just briefly in rebuttal. I would urge the Court not to find an implicit bond hearing requirement in Section 1231A. If I understand that was the last hypothetical posed. The Supreme Court set the standard for impermissibly long detention under Section 1231. That's Zabidas, the only circuit that I'm aware of that has posed another bond hearing type requirement is the Ninth Circuit in the Doof case. And a lot of the reasoning that went into that case has really been called into question by Jennings because there's no mention in the text of a bond hearing requirement.
Do you agree if we found that 1231 applied that it would have no practical impact here?
I think that might depend on whether or not DHS would look to take Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez back into custody. That, as far as I know, that determination hasn't been made yet. But, you know, there's a possibility they might not. I know of other cases where the ruling went down our way and we didn't take people back into custody.
But you might.
They would have the prerogative to do so. I'd like to point out that there's no practicality inquiry in determining whether or not removal period begins, and that's illustrated by the Zabidas case itself. One of the aliens in Zabidas, I think it was the alien who was going to be removed to Cameroon, there was no repatriation treaty in place with that country, but that didn't stop the removal period from starting and running through completion, and still the Supreme Court saying, you know, we're still dealing with Section 1231 detention, even though removal can't be affected. That doesn't change the statutory scheme or the detention authority under which the alien would be detained.
Do we have facts before us to conclude that despite your argument that Zabidas is applicable, that this is a prolonged detention and a bond hearing is required as a result? You want me to rephrase it? So here's what I'm trying to determine. You say there's no implicit bond requirement under 1231, mm-hmm. right? And you say all you have to do is look at Zabidas, right? And Zabidas says at some point, right, you're going to have to do something because it's a prolonged detention. The key words are there's reasonable probability that the person will be removed. At least in this circumstance, an argument can be made that we're talking about a circumstance that's so far off that Zabidas is traversed. If that's so, then are you saying that is independent of 1231 a basis for a bond hearing?
No, I think that if the court finds that there has been a Zabidas violation, then the remedy is to order the alien is released under conditions of supervision. However, I think that if the court wants to go there should be a remand because the magistrate judge actually addressed the significant likelihood of removal in the reasonably foreseeable future, the Zabidas standard, in the report and recommendations, but the district court never reached that because it found a different statute applied. So perhaps if that's the avenue you're looking at, there should be a remand for the district court to actually address the facts contributing to the Zabidas standard.
Can we talk about removal if he has a pending Convention Against Torture claim that's not going to be heard for about a year and a half?
Well, so there's nothing in the statute that requires the Homeland Security to not start looking at other alternative countries.
You can, but I mean, he has a pending Convention Against Torture claim, apparently.
Yes.
And it's not going to be heard for quite a while. Can he be removed while that that case is pending.
There's nothing in the statute that prevents that. I think in the vast majority of cases, DHS tries to establish that the alien could still be removed to that country, and here I think there's good evidence to suggest that Mr. Guerrero-Sanchez can be removed to Mexico because he already was. There's nothing in the statute that prevents DHS from starting to look at other countries, but at the same time, they have a lot invested in this case, so I think they are going to see it out.
I wouldn't doubt that you could start looking at it, but I was just wondering if he can actually be removed while he has a pending CAT claim.
I don't believe they would seek to remove him, but I don't know of any statutory bar to actually attempting to do so.
Okay. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well-argued case. Kudos to counsel, and we will take the matter on.